Better than a blue pill. Rock solid NCAA coverage day and night is here.
Oh, yeah.
On Lincoln's ESPN FM 1015, 1480 AM. You're tuned into the best damn Husker and NFL coverage on the radio.
We don't fly at 40,000 feet. We're not big picture group. They have work to do today.
You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
And if they focus on anything other than that, it's going to be a problem.
This is the Greggeth and Hook Show.
That's like a prerequisite to being at this level.
Like we always do with this time, I go for mine, I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky.
Welcome back to the Greggeth and Hooks on Lincoln Sports Authority, ESPN FM 101.5, 1480. Now is when I usually would spend a couple seconds building up our next guest on the show, an individual that I thought had...
like your best interest, your back?
Yeah.
Something like that?
No, I mean, like, I always thought, like, this guy was someone who stood for what was right in sports media, someone that I could count on to not mess me around when I'm trying to find a good column to read, someone that I thought would be like upfront and point blank with me about what's going on. Definitely not someone that would write the kind of clickbait headline like Roby still weighing decision after positive NBA combine. Why are you playing with my heart, Robin Washit, HuskerOnline.com?
Just reporting what he said.
Oh, you are you were foxing friends in me right there. That's what was happening. You made me think that Roby might come back.
It wasn't a column. It was just an update. Oh. And he has not publicly announced the decision. And so Man. Technically that's where it stands. But anybody that actually, I mean, if you actually read the story beyond the headline.
Listen, I've never read one of your stories. I just read the headline.
He basically thoroughly explains that he still considers himself as high as, you know, a late first-round draft pick and had really good feedback, which is exactly what he needed to hear. And so everything is going according to plan. He thinks he'll get drafted. A lot of other people think he'll get drafted. And as long as that stays the same, he will remain in the draft and not return to Nebraska next year.
Why couldn't you just put all that in the headline instead of making me feel like Roby was coming back and we were building a super team around here? God, wash it.
Well, if he comes back, somebody's got to go.
I'm going to write it. Right. Yeah, go. Later, Thorbjørn Narsen. Have a good one.
Poor Thor.
Hey, whatever, man. It's a
poor
this is a,
Thor.
It's a, I'm a businessman. It's you're a businessman.
He is.
Hey, Robin. That's NFL mentality.
Robin, when you look at Roby in the draft, Nick and I talked about this yesterday, and you look at the teams he's worked out for, right? I know you have them all, but it did not seem like Roby would be like an ideal fit for the Spurs and Greg Popovich.
Yeah, I think that ideal fit would be Spurs or just a really good established team where he doesn't need to come in and basically have to be one of the building blocks. Because the goal for him is to, once he does get drafted, is to develop. And I'm guarantee he's going to start out in the G League somewhere and spend his first year playing, you know, basically in the basketball minor leagues. And as that development kind of starts to take hold, then they can maybe, you know, if there's an injury that goes down or, whatever happens, they can call him up, maybe on a two-way contract or whatever it may be, and he could just kind of fit in to an already established piece. And Spurs, you want to talk about development, that's about as good as it gets. He's worked out with the Warriors. I think that's another, you look at what their playoff runs right now. I mean, all the different just kind of out of nowhere, no-name guys that are making major impacts. That's a great opportunity for him to kind of follow that same path. And, there's other ends of the spectrum, too, where, you know, he's working out with the Kings today. So doesn't quite fit that mold, but... Mm. The majority of the teams that I think have shown interest in him are teams that have picks either late in the first round, early in the second round, that I think that's kind of where he's envisioning himself going. I think the window he's looking at is anywhere from picks as high as 25 to 40, and somewhere in that range, based off the feedback he's gotten from teams with what his agent's gotten and the workouts that he's had, I think that's kind of the goal window of the draft that he's looking at. And, you know, I guess all it takes is one team to like him, and I think there's a few of them that do.
I have a bold prediction to make. I'm going to book something here. And Wash It, if you want to jump on this bandwagon, you're welcome to. You can use this in a column, whatever you want to do with it. Make sure you credit me a little bit because I am being Nostradamus. Yeah, I'll never know it was in there unless it's in the headline.
You won't read it. It's got to be in the headline.
Unless it's in the headline, but we're going to book this prediction. If, get this, if Roby is drafted by the Golden State Warriors, he will be in the NBA Finals next year. You're welcome.
That's so bold of you. How big of you?
How about that, boys? Got to replace Durant with somebody.
Wow.
He's going to be in the G League next year.
Yeah, like the G'd up from his feet up because he just won a championship with the Warriors. I don't know what you're talking about. G League.
Fair enough.
Get out of here. I got to say, it's listen, guys, I'm on one today. I'm in a good mood.
That was quick, pulling that one out of nowhere. I'm impressed.
Have you never listened to me over on 96 Kicks? This is my only job over there, is to make dumb comments like this.
When you don't read his articles, he doesn't listen to anything you say on the radio.
Earlier we were rattling off on the air about how all the different states are ranked. Did you know Nebraska is ranked the ninth best state in the union?
Yep.
Ninth best state in the union. All of this.
And where's that compared to Iowa?
Iowa's like 14 because they're riding our coattails.
Boom.
But they, all the states, like number 50 is Alabama, number 49 is I don't know, Mississippi, and then Arkansas comes in at 47. And the only reason Arkansas is 47, they just passed a new law that when you get divorced, you can stay brother, sister. See, I dropped that on the air today, too. I have these in my head. I've got this stuff. Yeah, golly. Get you going thinking it's real, and then it's a joke about incest. See that?
Oh, dear golly, Molly.
Woo!
You do have a lot of good incest jokes.
That's what I do, man. I used to work in Council Bluffs, for God's sakes. Okay, I'm going to bring something up with Roby. It's a little frustrating to me. I'm watching him, and I'm watching some of these scrimmages and the highlights from these scrimmages and all these things, and I'm already seeing this man out here making better decisions, taking some three-point shots, you know, like... It's not the pump fake and drive every single time, but he's still going down and flushing the thing. He's playing great defense. Am I wrong for being a little frustrated at the development of Isaiah Roby or the lack thereof while he was here?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, cause that's kind of been the one, issue with him his entire career is, you know, when will he ever realize his potential? And really it wasn't until after Isaac Copeland got hurt and he was like literally forced into more of a lead role that it finally started to click with him. I mean, you remember that first round NIT game against Butler, he was unstoppable. And it was because he actually had the confidence in himself to go be the lead alpha dog. And so I think that that's still a work in progress. You know, you go back to that very next round against TCU, he was a complete non-factor. So consistency and kind of taking ownership of, go back to the old cliche, knowing how good he actually is and trusting that ability, I think is, you know, the big hurdle right now. And NBA teams are confident they can figure that out. You know, I think that that's one thing that, you know, I think is finally starting to take hold with him. And I think the more that he is testing himself against the best of the best, you know, went through this draft process, not only at the combine, but at his training facility where there's other draft prospects that he's working with. One of the things he said is, you know, I was really surprised when, you know, I'm like one of the biggest guys in the draft. I didn't think I was. And, you know, I can do all these different things, and it's a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. And so I think that, again, it's a painfully slow process for him to finally figure this thing out. But I think slowly but surely, inch by inch, he's starting to get there. And I think this NBA experience, which is, you know, he didn't even like really test the waters last year. He got an evaluation and like didn't even go through any workouts or anything last year. So this is the first time he's ever put himself on this platform. And I think the response that he's getting and the success that he's having is really doing wonders and speeding up kind of just that whole realization that, hey, I'm actually pretty good, and if I play like it, you know, I can make it at this level.
Hey, Robin, flipping a football real quick. Huskers get good news in a running back situation with Jedrick Mills. Passes classes, GPA good enough, is admitted to Nebraska. Cautiously optimistic, probably like a lot of Husker fans, as he is here. Because we had Greg Bell, we all know. But I think this is a different situation where you got a guy who's a freshman All-American at Georgia Tech coming to town. Talk about Jedrick Mills and the impact that he might have with the Huskers.
Well, he's going to be one of the top pieces, if not a starter, at running back, kind of depending on what happens with Maurice Washington, not only with his legal situation, but can he get big enough to be an every-down back? I mean, last year, he was just kind of that specialty, big-play, complementary piece where Divine Azigbo was the guy that was carrying the bulk of the workload. So Jedrick Mills fits that Azigbo mold. I mean, he's a guy that has proven it. You know, unlike Greg Bell, did it at the JUCO level. Jedrick Mills has done it at the highest of level of college football, and he was really good at it. And he played at a run-heavy offense at Georgia Tech. He played at a run-heavy offense at junior college. And he's built to do work in between the tackles. And that is the one piece that they don't have. They have all these perimeter, big play guys, but they don't have that one dude that can go get you a first down on third and three, or at least consistently. And so having him immediately eligible is huge and really takes a lot of that stress out off the offense and kind of wondering who was going to fill his shoes if, for some reason, he wasn't going to be eligible. So getting that kind of off their shoulders, I think, is a big sigh of relief for this coaching staff, because Mills is going to be a major factor in this running game. And, like I said, it kind of just depends on how Maurice Washington's situation on and off the field develops over the next few months. But either way, Mills is going to be a primary piece.
I think that's big, because if you guys think back to last year, how many drives for us ended on we couldn't get third and two or fourth and one or fourth and two last year that could have kept there were game-changing fourth downs last year for this team that we couldn't get.
Yeah, and, that kind of – they kind of got away from just power offense, which I think – you go back to last season about how the team was developing. I think Scott Frost developed a little bit too. I mean, clearly – starting 0-6 is about as humbling of an experience as you can get. And so I think he learned a lot about himself as a coach, and also what it takes to win in the Big Ten. It's a completely different animal than any other league he's coached in before. And I think that he kind of had to learn that the hard way. So to have a power element, you need a guy that can bring power and physicality to your offense. And Mills does exactly that. So I think that that will probably help them take on more of a Big Ten identity and be able to make those kinds of plays that, maybe they either didn't have the personnel or the trust to call those types of plays and being able to execute them and get those first downs that can change games.
Talking to Robin Washit, HuskerOnline.com. Robin, you kind of touched on this a little bit while you were talking about Mills, and I'm going to reiterate something I said on Monday, and I want to see how you feel about this statement. But when you look at Scott Frost's offense, I think it's a simple argument to make to say you have your quarterback, and then whoever your big dog running back is, that's your second most important player in that offense, because this offense entirely is based on running the ball, threatening people with the run, and then being able to read a defense and put the ball over the top, hit open players. But those players get open because safeties are coming up, cornerbacks are worried about the run. Mills, I don't think it's wrong to say he's the second most important guy if you believe he's the starter on this offense this year.
Yeah, I mean, him or Maurice Washington. And again, I think if Washington can prove that he's physically able to carry the workload of an every down back, I mean, I still think that he is your primary guy. But that does, I mean, either way, Mills is going to be a major piece. And so, I agree with you. And you look at the stats from last year, that proved that. I mean, it was Divine Azigbo was far and away the number one threat in the running game, and Adrian Martinez was second, and then the drop-off from there was significant. And so they have their go-to running back, and they have Adrian Martinez, and then the rest of the offense plays off those two. And so I think that's they have more options, I think, this year, especially with some of those different types of pieces. We haven't talked about Ramir Johnson or Wandale Robinson or even J.D. Spielman in the running game. So they have guys that I think can contribute and maybe make it a little less two-player dimensional, But still, I think when it comes down to it, you're right. I mean, you look back to the history of Scott Frost's offense. It's a bell cow running back, a dual threat quarterback that really make that system go. And so I think there's no reason to believe that won't be the case again this year, even though, you know, there it's kind of still a question of who that lead dog is going to end up being.
Another thing that we talked about a little bit was with Nebraska's schedule this year, Mel Kiper Jr. put out his top five at each position group heading into next year's NFL draft. So we're talking juniors and seniors. And Nebraska has a fair share of guys that are on his list. I want to say out of the 10, it was like four of them that they'll be playing in the first half of the season. Then you have Iowa there. He had their quarterback is like the number two senior, which I thought was kind of strange. But they had a lot of quarterbacks on that list. Does that change at all how you view the schedule this upcoming season when you start seeing draft nicks putting the quarterbacks on the different teams that Nebraska specifically is playing on their list of the best quarterbacks in college football?
No, because the reality is that the schedule is still favorable just because of how it's constructed and the fact that Nebraska gets basically all of the big marquee games at home, and they have a relatively favorable non-conference schedule. And so, I mean, I think that that's still, even though, yeah, there's going to be good players, but there's going to be good players every year. And you could probably make a case that that list would be even bigger on maybe a different given year, you know, if some of those same teams Nebraska generally plays in the Big Ten slate were on the schedule this year. So, you know, man, I don't put too much stock into that. I still think that the fact that Nebraska has, like I said, they're big games at home. There's no like really daunting 4 or 5 game stretches where they're on the road multiple weeks in a row. I mean, this is kind of the ideal situation from a scheduling standpoint that Nebraska absolutely has to take advantage. And you know, we've talked about this for a year now. You know, Scott Frost even himself pointed to this season because of that schedule as a really golden opportunity for this team. And now you're in year two with Adrian Martinez. I mean, there's no reason why they can't exploit that. And, you know, it's interesting. We've been running these opponents' spring recaps where we just talk to beat writers from each one of Nebraska's opponents. And you ask them just kind of a real general take on how they think their respective team that they cover is going to match up with Nebraska, and every one of them is predicting a big jump for Nebraska in year two, especially on offense and especially with Adrian Martinez. So as good as, you know, Mel Kiper, whoever it is, wants to say these other quarterbacks are, you can make a very strong case that Nebraska has the best one. And because they have the best one, they are going to have a chance in every game they play.
Future number one overall pick, I think, is what Robin just said.
That's
like
what he
that.
Said.
Hey, I'm not ruling anything out with that kid.
I'm excited. He's a future Giant. After that other one you guys just drafted,
let's go.
Messes
let's
up.
Let's go. Hey, yeah, I will follow the Daniel Jones sword for a couple of years if it means we get Adrian and he's the number one pick.
There you go. There
he
you
won't
go.
See a Daniel Jones might not see a snap before they draft Adrian Martinez.
Just take it easy.
Wow, Hooks. Why are you going after just because of his clickbait column that he had? You're all of a sudden
true,
going at him?
True or not?
You're all of a sudden going at him.
It's a statement.
Man, I'm looking forward to next week. We'll talk about your next article. Nebraska getting a 5-star recruit, yes or no? And then
no.
And then we'll talk about that. And you'll have to tell me the answer because I won't click it. But I will tell people to because I love you, Washit.
Yeah. Nebraska's coaches were on the road recruiting. You wouldn't believe what they did next.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's already got them ready to go.
Yeah. Fred Hoiberg saw 10 miles at the combine. You won't believe what happened.
What they said to each other.
Oh, man. They might have fought, or they didn't. Click it and land out. That'd be awesome. See, I'm helping you out.
Yeah.
Now you can start having beverages in the middle of the day again. Half your stories are written.
Yeah. Hey, I could just load through the summer and just basically take the next couple months off.
You're welcome, buddy. That's hey, you know, that's what friends are here for. All right, Wash It, man. I appreciate that. Hey, I've already gotten my my quarterbacks and my running backs all filled out for fantasy football. I'm cruising right through this thing, ready to roll. I'm ready for our league.
Cool. I'll wait for you to print it out and give me a copy.
I'm here for friends. I help friends out. It's all about knowing who to go get and everything and when to get them, so we'll be all right on that. I got to find out if Tariq Hill's playing next season or not. That's the key here for me. I need to find that out. Once I know that, that'll be – otherwise, I could keep Edelman. I'm talking myself into that.
Well, he's got a long-term deal. He's going to get one.
Two more years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not too shabby. By the way, how much do you hate the Patriots? They got a guy who consistently catches like 90 balls a season and is like the linchpin in their offense from a receiver position. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll just make $8 million, $9 million a year. No big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, the Patriot way, right?
I wonder who do you think they go through offshore to pay these guys the rest of their money?
Oh, I'm guarantee you Robert Kraft has some sleazy. We all know about that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever he's doing is just filthy and disgusting.
Free back massages. He throws that in with the down at that place in Florida. All right, buddy. Well, hey, we appreciate the time. Thank you for jumping on with us. We'll catch up, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, later. Thank you. Thank you. Robin Washit, good stuff from him. I'm so mad at him. Roby still weighing decision after positive. Get out of here.
Come on.
Wash it. You're making me think that there's a chance.
Did you click it?
Oh, yeah. I read the stupid article, and then I was mad because at no point.
You knew the answer.
Well, I do know the answer, but if Robin Wash it tweets out like, hey, possibility he might return, which is basically what that says.
Hmm. He kind of did you dirty.
He did. I was just disappointed because normally he's like, a beacon of virtue in the.
At least when he puts it out, he can just call you and say, "Hey, don't click this article.
Don't click this." Hey, I don't think he's going to do that. He'd get fired.
Dude, I put it out there. It's all right, but.
Yeah, in actuality, here's what's happening. All right, so that's Robin Washit. Coming up next, I believe, we have Michael Dixon joining the show with the Salt Dogs. If you guys didn't hear, tomorrow night, Hooksy and I are throwing out the first pitch.
Whoa.
Assuming the weather holds off, Hooksy and I are throwing out the first pitch for the Salt Dogs. It's the home opener tomorrow. Going to be a lot of fun. I know that place is going to be packed. I don't know. My wife's not coming, so I'm going to have both my kiddos, so I might not be able to throw out the first pitch. I might have to just stand out there with you and have Carter do it.
That'd be all right.
Unless you want to hold my daughter.
I'll hold it while you throw.
All right.
I got you. You have to throw.
All right. We could do that. We would just pass the kids back and forth.
Yeah, done.
All right. We might do that. All right. We'll take a really quick break. Caller 5, 466-3776, 466-ESPN, caller 5. We will hook you up with movie tickets right now. That is caller 5 to go down to the Grand Theater. Go see any movie you want to on either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday on us here at Gregathan Hooks. We'll be back after this.